We're going to start in John 3. Father, we just give you this time. We ask you to quicken, to bring life to your word. Lord, just grip our hearts today. I think it's going to be different for each one of us because our issues are different. We ask you, Lord, that you just shine your light like a giant searchlight. And you find whatever it is in us that needs to go, that needs to be brought into the light and bring revelation and bring deliverance. And we just ask you this in the name of Jesus by your power, Lord. Amen. We're going to talk about the magic eight ball. Did you ever play with one of those eight balls when you were a kid? You know, you just roll that thing, shake it up, and then you're watching the window to see what your fortune is, you know? Well, that's the magic eight ball. And you know what? Magic is real. Magic is real. And it's powerful. Now, there's trick magic that is nothing but trickery. You know, a little game plan, pull the rabbit out of the hat. The rabbit was really down under the table and there's a hole in the hat. You're really reaching down on the table and pulling it out. That's not powerful. That's just game playing trickery. Sleight of hand. Tricking your mind. But there is a magic that's very real. And it's the magic of the power of the evil spirits. And it is powerful. And it can deceive us and trick our mind in a real and powerful way. And we're going to talk about that magic eight ball. It wants to tell you your future. It wants to tell you your fortune. It wants to deceive you. It wants to be a darkness to hide the light of God that he's trying to shine in your life. So we're going to talk about that. John 3, 16 through 21. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believes on him is not condemned, but he that believes not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that does evil hates the light, neither comes to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that does truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought of God. This is the first place God led me this morning, and I didn't understand why. I said, why are you taking me to that section, Lord? But what stood out to me was, men love darkness rather than light. Why would anyone love darkness? Do you know what darkness means? There's a definition of darkness. I'm going to get a little ahead of myself, maybe. Darkness, I don't remember where I got. Oh, yeah, Luke 11. Go over to Luke 11, verse 33. We're going to read 33 through 36. No man, when he has lighted a candle, puts it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when your eye is single, your whole body is full of light. But when your eye is evil, your body is full of darkness. Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in you be not darkness. That verse gripped me. Well, the light is in me means Jesus is in me. The light is in me means I have truth in me. The light means I have God in me. And he says, be careful. The light in you doesn't become darkness, is not in darkness. That's kind of like hiding your candle under a bushel. It's hiding Jesus. It's covering the light with the darkness. If your whole body, therefore, be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle does give thee light. God wants us to be wholly light, fully light, no part darkness. In the explanation of that word darkness, Strong's 4655, the word shatkas, something like that, says to cover. The word is used literally for all darkness that is brought about by shutting out light. Something in our life that shuts out the light of Jesus, that covers it. Metaphorically, meaning spiritual, moral, and intellectual darkness. The darkness arises from error, ignorance, disobedience, willful blindness, and rebellion. Darkness is an evil system, absolutely opposed to the light. So what we're seeing is that the light of Jesus, he's put a light in us to shine, but if we get in error, we cover the light. If we get in deception, we cover the light. If we get into sin, we cover the light. But I want to talk about error and deception that dims your light, that covers your light. It obscures your light from shining. That's the kind of we're going to talk about today. First thing we're going to do today is bring everything into the light. We're going to bring everything into his light. We'll get to the magic eight ball. That was just a setup, and we'll talk about that later. So the first thing we want to do is we want to stop, and we want to pray. We want to ask God if there is anything in us that is hiding, that is covered, that is in error or disobedience. What is it that needs to come into the light from inside of you? Invite God's light to search you. And if you find a portion of darkness, shine the light there. Show me what is hiding there. This might be a struggle because things that are hiding in you are hiding because you love the darkness. Men don't come into the light because they love something that's in that darkness. They don't want God to look at it. It's that thing that you keep shoving to the back of your mind and not wanting to face. That thing that you really don't want to let go of, so you want to pretend God doesn't see it either or doesn't care. Something that we just don't really want to face, we don't want to deal with, we don't want to let go of, we don't want to recognize, so it stays kind of in the back. For me, I was having a struggle this morning with that. It's like, I already know what it is, but you don't want it to be that, so you keep trying to point at something else. You know, not that, not that, not that. You know, I don't want it to be that. So we want that tucked away, hiding darkness to be exposed. So I want you to pray right now. Lord, I'm waiting before you. I lay open every area of my mind, my heart, my will. Search me. And highlight what needs to come into truth today. It comes into truth because John 8:32 says, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." If the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I want you to wait before the Lord, and what He brings to your mind, I want you to write that thing down. Just write it down. Don't try to understand it. Don't try to analyze it, argue with it, defend it. Just write it down. Step one. Okay, this isn't not an analytical time. So I may get one word, one issue. Don't start trying to defend it. Don't start trying to repent of it. Just whatever issue or word came to your mind, that's the one you put on that paper right now. Now, if you want to get free, you got to cooperate with God here. Don't love your darkness. Let it be revealed. Write the thing down. Does everybody have a thing? Anybody not have a thing yet? Did you raise your hand? Does everybody have a thing? Okay. Now, my thing was the eight ball. I had another thing in my mind that I was like, oh, I hope it's not that. You see, all week long, 10 days, we've had company. 10 days I've had no privacy. in my conscious mind, I'm thinking, I don't have enough time to get with God and get in the Word and to soak in His presence and filled with the Spirit. And I'm losing all my privacy time to find God. Harvey had his office. He went in his office lots and lots and had phone calls. Not just to Blaze. He had personal godly phone calls. He took a pillow and went in there and soaked. Janiyah went downstairs anytime she wanted to escape. But we had given them our room, and that's my escape place. So Harvey's off in the office. She's downstairs. They got my room, and they're in and out. One of them's in my room. The other one's in the living room. People are everywhere. I never had an escape place. So I'm whining all week. I need my privacy. And also, besides God-seeking time, Janiyah and I, every afternoon, you know, I get up really early, 5, 6, and I do my whole day. It gets going. We get through lunch, and it gets up to 1 o'clock, 1:30. That is my break time. I get a cup of coffee and a snack, and we sit, Janiyah and I together, we sit down, we may watch a cake show, we might watch Idol, I watch the Idol singing on there, I watch Survivor, I like reality shows, I watch Parenthood, that's a new one, that's fun. Whatever show we watch, it doesn't matter, it's really not about the show, it's mine and Janiyah's getaway, have a cup of coffee, and just rest while the kids take a nap and everything is quiet. I love that time of day. Last night I kept finding myself saying, man, hey, I didn't even get to see the finale. I didn't even get, you know, in Biggest Loser and Idol, and I want to see those shows, and that kept coming to my mind. So this morning I'm thinking, man, I hope my darkness isn't those TV shows, you know, because I like my resting time in the afternoon. I'm going, it's going to be them. I know it's going to be them. So, okay, fine, God. I'm not going to think about anything. What is it? And he said, 8 ball. I went, 8 ball? I'd repented of playing with those things years ago. And he said, put your hands out. And he told me the other night, you're going to stretch your hands out to me, and I'm going to give you something. So I'm like, okay, here's my hands. And he puts that 8 ball. He told me to pick it up, put it in my left hand. He didn't touch it. I said, I don't want it. I don't want it. This is my receiving to me hand. I don't want the 8 ball in my receiving hand. He said, pick it up. Okay, I don't want it. He said, you're already holding it. I don't want to be holding it. What's in it? You know, shake that thing and see. I don't want to shake it and see what comes up in the window. I don't want. He said, what does it represent? The world. Man-made fortune-telling. Made by man, for man. Tell you what you want to hear or scare you to death with what you don't want to hear. It's all of man telling me what's coming and what's happening. I don't want that kind. I want true prophecy. And he said, and I want to give you true prophecy. But I can't do it while you're holding the 8 ball. How am I holding the 8 ball? Well, what I want you to do for a while is stop watching those TV shows. I knew that's what you were going to go at. See that thing that stuffed way back there, jumped right to the front? I knew that's where you were going. Oh, what am I going to do for my rest time? He said, rest in me. I'm going, oh, man, I'm so wicked. See how you love your darkness? I love that. I like those shows. I love those shows. I love going to the movie. I love movies. I love television. I already put away the murder mysteries. I already put away everything that looked evil. And he said, nonetheless, you are taking in something from the world that is going to taint prophecy. He said, and I want to light you like a candle, and I want to put you on a candle stand, and I want to speak forth pure prophecy through you, and I don't want any of man in it. So you're going on a TV fast, and every afternoon you're going to come lay before me. And I'm like, I like to lay before you when you show up, but sometimes I lay before you and I get a good nap, but you don't show up, you know? We're going to get to that, too. I don't want to put my light under a bushel. He said, be careful that the light which is in you be not darkness. The light of prophecy, the pure word of God, what he's coming to do, be careful that it is not touched by man, by man's wisdom, by this world, by any darkness. This is for me. you cannot have my instructions. One time God told me to go to the movie, to see a movie where they used his name in vain, and to pray for the actor. It was Kevin Costner. And when I got there, all I could see was the eyes of Kevin Costner and the grieving of the Holy Spirit for him. He told me to go to a movie that I would not have gone to because I didn't think it was godly. See, your instruction might be to go home, watch TV all day long. I have no idea. Don't go home and give up TV because I have to go on a TV fast. That was not for you. That was just my example of what he's doing for me right now, what he's doing in me right now. God has put his light in us, and he's made his candles to shine. And he doesn't want any darkness, any deception, any untruth, anything of the magical powers of Satan to affect you. Whatever that is for you, you need to lay it down. You need to lay it down. He said if your eye is single, if your eye is clear, if your eye is set on him, then your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is not single and you have a darkness that you love and you're looking at that, you are covering his light. You're putting his light out. Matthew 6 talks more about the eye being single and the whole body being full of light. In Matthew 6, starting in 22, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if your eye be evil or dark, your whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you be darkness, how great is that darkness? If you have a deception in you, how powerful is that darkness, that deception, that thing that's keeping you from seeing the light God has for you? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one. We learned that hate means turn away from. He'll either going to turn away from one and love the other, or he's going to hold on to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You can't serve God and riches. Now, he's talking about riches, but it applies to whatever that darkness is in us. You can't serve God and any other person. I want to please this person. I don't want to hurt them. I know God wants me to do this, but that person there is going to feel rejected. You can't serve God and that person. You must turn away from one and cling to the other. You have to make choices. There can be nobody and nothing that owns a portion of your heart that can keep you from what God has for you. We're in preparation. And you know what God said to me, really? Oh, I'll get there in a minute, I guess. Maybe I am there. Step two, face that thing. The thing you wrote down, face it with a single eye, with an eye full of light of God, with an eye of truth as God reveals what he wants you to do about it. Bring it into the light. Ask God to shine. Don't argue about it. Don't defend yourself about it. Don't try to protect it, but look at it honestly. If it's a struggle, that proves that there's some love in you for it. And it needs to be rooted out of you. Why? Because we're in preparation. We're in preparation. Luke 12:35. Back over to Luke. Just all over the Gospels today. Luke 12:35. Let your loins be girded about and your lights burning. Your loins here means your mind. Your mind. The things you're thinking about, the things that you understand, your insights, your meditation, everything that's going through your thought life needs to be girded up, surrounded, protected with truth. No infiltration so that the light of Christ can burn out of you. And ye yourself like unto men that wait for their Lord, when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, that they may open unto him immediately. Open unto them immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he comes, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself, Jesus, and make them sit down to meat. Do you hunger for the deeper things of the Word? Do you want to be fed and nourished on the Word? He said, if you're waiting for me, if you're watching for me, when I come, if you open up immediately, I'm going to come in and I'm going to feed you meat. I'm going to nourish your soul. The meat. And he will come forth and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them, so blessed are those servants. You know, it goes on and says, if the good men of the house had known what hour the thief was coming, he would have been watching, and he would not have allowed his house to be broken through. So be ye therefore ready, for the Son of Man comes at an hour when you think not. Have you ever said, God, I'm so hungry, I'm here, I give up everything, I'm waiting for you? Nothing happens. There's the first watch. And you come back the next day and you go, God, I'm still hungry, you haven't come. I need you, I want you, I'm waiting for you. And you wait. Second watch. He didn't come. But he said, even if he didn't come in the second watch, even if he didn't come until the third watch, they were ready to open the door immediately when he did show up. And then he came when they didn't expect it. So maybe he won't come when you're laying there waiting on him. Maybe he won't come when you've said, I put this thing aside and I wait for you. Maybe you won't see him come. But your hand is right on that doorknob saying, when you do come, I'm going to be here waiting. I'm not going to have gone off to the distractions of the world. I'm not going to have gone and picked up my eight ball and said, well, God is just not coming and I'm bored. I need something to do. So while he's not coming, I'm just going to start amusing myself, entertaining myself, doing other things, neglecting to wait on him, because he's going to come when you don't expect it. But if you're waiting, expecting, he is going to show up. He is, and he's coming to do a preparation in us. He is coming to bring a revelation to us. He's coming to bring a revelation. Are we going to be ready? Are we going to be one? And you know, he told me, and this is so sweet of him. He is so sweet. He said, Osha, there's a clue. Because he calls me Shia when it's just intimate love exchange. But when it's ministry anointing, he calls me Osha, the official. And he said, I've chosen you to be a candle, to set you on a candlestick and shine forth my words. But you must choose what you're going to receive. I'm not going to speak through the eight ball. It's deception. It's worldly. Until now, there has been mixture in my prophets. But there can't be any more mixture by choice. There'll always be mixture by accident, but not by choice, by us choosing the mixtures. You will choose purity and allow. You must make a clear choice to wait on me today. And when God says today and underlines it, it means I'm at a day of decision. This isn't something you can put off and say, oh, maybe I'm going to think about that a while. No, because when he comes to the door and you don't open it immediately, he leaves. You know, in the Song of Solomon, he came to her door. And she was sleepy. And by the time she went, oh man, I really should get up and see what God wants. And she went, he was gone. And she ran through the street saying, where did he go? Where did he go? Where did he go? Now you're seeking him and you can't find him. When he comes, it's his choosing of time. We need to be ready and waiting for that time. He said, choose today. Make choices today while I'm speaking to you. He says, I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to forsake you. I'm going to keep loving you no matter what you choose. I will love you. I will comfort you. I'll communicate with you. I will bless your life and I will help you. I'll keep healing you. But if you want to be my prophet, for you maybe it's if you want to be a teacher, you want to be a minister, you want to be a shepherd, you want to be any kind of spokesman to carry this light. He said, today, I will make you my candle, or I will snuff out this anointing and go away. He'll still be here as my Savior, my friend, my Father. But if you want this anointing, make a choice. Because the preparation is getting hotter. He's putting us in a furnace to light that wick. That's what he's doing. You know what? We beg for that baptism of the fire. The baptism of fire. But in that baptism of fire, he's burning away everything that makes us impure. So if you want the baptism of fire, things get a little hotter. So I did what I do when I get religious. I said, oh, not only the TV, God, what else? How about food? How about clothes? How about, and he said, how about just TV? That's all I ask you for is a TV fast right now. I don't think it means all of TV because we're watching things on Israel. And I don't know if it means everything. I know it means those things in the afternoon. I don't know what it means as far as godly videos. Maybe those are allowed. Maybe they're not. I don't know yet. I have to ask about those individually. And I said, God, have I been speaking false prophecy? And he said, look in your right hand. There is no eight ball in your right hand. I've protected my word in you. But I want to increase my word. So it's time to throw that eight ball away. I threw that thing as far as I could throw it. And I don't plan to pick it back up. There's things that make that hard. It's my time with Janiyah. That was one of my arguments. With a little bit of afternoon time with her. He said, what about if she ends up soaking with you and I can visit her too? Her choice. Bring her to where I'm taking you or leave her behind. Because you have to turn from one to follow him. Hopefully they'll follow too. Some do, some don't. I forgot what chapter I'm in. I got verse 36. I know the verse. I just don't know what book I'm in. You yourself wait. Okay. God said for you to do what he gives you to do and don't push it on anyone else. Don't push it on anyone else. Because he speaks individually. He may be telling someone else. You know, he told Harvey, I'm putting you in a waiting season. Go ahead and watch all those old movies you want to for years. He's watched them and God told him to. Why? There was a season where those old movies had built something in Harvey of male chauvinism. You know, I am the hero of the movie. Everybody in the movie lives for me, serve me. And he had that in him. But now watching them under the quickening of the Spirit, same movie, he looks at that and he says, repulsive and sickening. I don't want that in me. The same movie is taking out what it put in. So there was a season of, please do watch these movies. So you cannot, when God gives you something to do, a way to dress, a way to eat, it's for you and it's for your season. Do not try to get others to do it. It's not like the new church rule. None of us may go to movies. We must all wear dresses. You know, we must all wear our hair in a ponytail and no makeup. You know, it's not, if that's what he's doing and you, he asked me this morning because he knows that's a touchy subject with me. What if I ask you to go to church with no makeup? And I went, oh, humiliation. Oh, I dread the day you ask me that. But if you say so, I'll just walk in there and do it, you know, but please don't say so. He said, not today. In my naked face condition, my own mother said, I didn't know you looked like that. In beauty school, 16 years old, washed off all our makeup. They all started laughing at me and said, you look like a boy. I've been humiliated by those who have seen me without makeup. I don't really care to risk that with you guys or anyone. I don't want to look in the mirror and see myself that way. So we'll hope God doesn't do that again. But if he does, I'll have to.
I don't think God will ever tell you that, honey.
I don't know. No, you haven't. Guaranteed. You might have seen some of it missing, not all. I wouldn't have come out of the locked bathroom that way. I did for Joy Bassett because she loved me so much and she thought makeup was wrong at one time. The godly people shouldn't wear it. And I said, Joy, you don't understand. She says, you would be beautiful without it. Just let's see. Took it all off. Joy Bassett said, in your case, I think God has made an exception. Wear it. And she amended it. You guys, just really, it's like God takes an eraser, isn't it? It's like, there is no face. White, white, white. And now that I've said that, I probably set myself up, but whatever. Blessed is that servant that God found waiting. You know, I sure wish you knew what book I was in so you could go there with me. Somewhere back here, I surely wrote the book. Let's see. I'll turn a couple pages. Maybe I'll find it. Luke? Could be Luke. Could be Mark. I think it's Luke. Let's try Luke 50 and see if we find it there. 50. Luke 50. If it's not there, you're just going to have to go home and search these things out, whether or not they be so. Not chapter 50. Chapter 12. That's the last one I wrote, so unless I went somewhere else and didn't write it. There is a 50. That's a good sign. Is it Luke 12, 50? Go back to 49. I'm come to send fire on earth, and what will I if it already be kindled? But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I straitened until it be accomplished? Jesus said, I'm being baptized with a baptism of fire, and I am straitened until it's accomplished. I have set my eyes straight until it happens. We've asked God for this baptism of fire. But we have to have a determined set. Whatever he wants to burn away is part of that baptism of fire. So when he puts something before you that needs to go, you need to put it in the fire. Don't hold on to it. Put it in the fire. What if it's already kindled? We're all waiting for some tongues of fire to fall from the ceiling, drop on us, and we're suddenly empowered. Now we're just powerful servants of God. I don't think so. I think we're already in that fire. It's already burning. And it's up to us to stoke the fire by throwing in everything he asks for to increase the fire of power, or to say, stepping out of the fire, it's too hot. So take that thing that you wrote down. Take that thing you wrote down and say, God, I'm willing to hear whatever you want to say about it. I'm willing to accept whatever you want to say about it. And I'm willing to be obedient in whatever you give me to do with it. I don't know that you're all going to end up laying in the bed soaking every afternoon and waiting, but whatever is waiting mode for you, wait with expectation for the manifestation of Jesus. For the manifestation of Jesus, because that's the reward. When he knocks on the door and you open it, you're going to get more revelation of Christ in you. And it's going to be awesome. And it's going to light your fire so that he can lift you up and shine into this world. You're going to be a candle on a candlestick. Father, we just ask you to come and do this. Come and reveal your will to each one of us. We lay down everything, Lord. And those things that we struggle, those things we hope it isn't, those things we want to defend, may we just put them down and let you touch them today and reveal the truth about those things. It really won't hurt. It's the devil who's made us think it's going to hurt to let go. And it really won't. May we trust you and let you fully expose the darkness inside of us that covers our light. Thank you, Jesus.